Hi, this is Gunner Ted Armstrong. You know, some of the prophets of old found out that biblical prophecy is not just a lot of fun. It's not enjoyable at all. There may be some good news beyond it all, but I'll tell you, when some of those men received some of the messages they were given and were allowed to look on over into the future and see some of the days in which we live today, well, they became just about as shocked and disturbed about it all as you are. They didn't like what they saw. They didn't even want to take the message to the people back then, let alone write it down. Why, some of those men were so shocked and so disturbed, they were astonished and lying there on their beds, quaking with fear. They had to be told by the people who appeared to them, in some cases an archangel, as in the case of Daniel, or perhaps a vision that John saw that so astonished him, he said it was like bitterness in his belly and he had no strength left in him. They could scarcely believe their eyes. Well, how would you have been, let's say, if you had never known of some of the unbelievable weapons of war that we have today, and suddenly you saw lit up like Technicolor in a vivid, huge, cinemascopic motion picture in your mind the explosion of the first atomic bomb at Hiroshima, but you were standing right there and in vivid one-hour, two-hour-long, slow-motion, agonizing detail, you saw what happened to the people and the horses and the buildings and everything there, why, it would just about blow your mind. No, biblical prophecy is no fun. Because while there is good news beyond, and while the gospel itself is called the good news of the coming kingdom of God, there is an awful lot of bad news in first-person quotation from Jesus Christ of Nazareth himself. Now, we have come in a series of programs in the book of Revelation to a portion that talks about some of the good news. It talks about thousands and tens of thousands of people, finally, at a time when they will see with their own eyes what they have only been hearing with their ears or reading, perhaps in publications and magazines. They have been reading about the potential of what is going to happen to the United States of America. They've been hearing for many, many years about the emergence of a United States of Europe. They've been hearing about new parlays and pacts and power blocks. They've been hearing about the machinations and manipulations of major nations and states together, about nuclear proliferation, about the potential, not only for massive religious confusion, but of wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, of famines and pestilences, and all these, Jesus said, are the beginning of sorrows. Now we've come to a place in the book of Revelation in this series that talks about a time when God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We get into a little bit of the good news for a change. But we see now some of the good news in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation is that during the time of the interruption of all human activity, 12,000 of every single one of the tribes of Israel that are mentioned here. And it begins in verse 5, of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, Reuben 12,000, of Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh is mentioned, Simeon and Levi is mentioned, Zebulun and Joseph, meaning Ephraim because it is not mentioned, and that's the other half-tribe of Joseph. Of Benjamin, 12,000, that's 144,000 human beings, and that is a number. 12,000 is a number just like Jesus had 12 tribes of Israel. The God of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. Jesus started his church with 12 apostles, 12 disciples. That means beginnings or organized beginnings or perfect governmental numbers. And then you see a vast innumerable multitude that are sealed, meaning they are converted because they fall down to their knees and really call out to God when they see with their own eyes the things that they've been hearing with the ears for all of these many years and have done nothing about. In the book of Ezekiel, the ninth chapter, there's a very mysterious, kind of a macabre death scene of a whole group of death angels lined up with these scimitars, spears, and halberds, and pikes, and swords that are called destroying instruments in their hands. But in front of them is a person wearing a priestly garment. He is pictured as having a writer's inkhorn at his side. Back in those days, they would have carried a kind of a stoppered little bottle, probably in some sort of a hide or a leather sack of some kind. It would have probably had the stopper tied by a piece of leather thong or of rope or something so they wouldn't lose it. He would have had a group of quills, probably in a container of some sort. And then this ink that he carried there right in his writer's inkhorn at his side, he would dip in with that quill and make his marks, do his writing. It said, that God told this person with the writer's inkhorn, you go through the city because a great plague is going to fall upon the city, and all these death angels, these destroying weapons, are going to go through and slay utterly both young and old, man and woman, everybody who doesn't have this mark upon him. Now, in our series of programs in the book of Revelation, we came to the seventh chapter that shows the sealing of the servants of God in their foreheads, the total contrast to that mark of the beast, as it's called, in Revelation the 13th chapter, the last few verses. This person has to go through the city making a mark on the foreheads of those that sigh and cry for the abominations that are being committed all around them in that civilization. That is only going to be done by those who are out there doing it, who have that writer's inkhorn, who are the watchmen to Israel, who are seeing what is happening and warning the people, because God has decreed that we're not going to look up to him and claim we were so surprised. Pearl Harbor was a shock. It was a surprise. God does not intend the great tribulation coming upon the peoples of Jacob, the United States, and the British Commonwealth of Nations be a surprise. He says they will be punished as their congregation has heard. They must hear. And God's work must tell them. They must be receiving a witness and a warning from him.